Like to read in the second epistle of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. Because it is the God who spoke that out of darkness a light should shine, who has shone in our hearts for the shining forth of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And the last verse of that chapter, verse 18, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen, for the things that are seen are for a time, but those that are not seen, eternal. I want to lay before you tonight in the preaching one specific word, and that word is eternity. What do you think, dear friend, about the reality of eternity? These lives that we live here, they're all measured in time, measured in years. But you know, whether they're short or long, they're just a tiny speck compared to eternity. And when that journey of our lives is finished here, what then? Eternity lies ahead. I want to be perfectly simple. Where will you spend eternity? What preparation have you made for eternity? What will you take with you into eternity? If you had been alive and able to walk the streets of Sydney round about the middle of last century, as you walked along these streets, you might have come across a word written on the pathway, written on the pavement. What would that word have been? Eternity. And if you'd walked another 30 steps or so, again, the same word, eternity. And so on, to the next 30 steps, to the next street. How many people read these words, I don't know. But they were written by a man called Arthur Stace, who was born of alcoholic parents, born into poverty, abject poverty. And he and his siblings survived by begging, by stealing. At 7 years old, his father abandoned the family, and the case got worse. Until eventually they were made wards of court, I think it was. But anyhow, Arthur Stace ended up in the same condition as what his parents had been, an alcoholic. Continued to steal and commit petty crime. Eventually was taken into the hands of the police. And after released, he joined the Australian Army as a soldier and undertook duties there, during which time he was wounded and injured and sent back home. Being discharged, he joined the ranks of the many unemployed and what we call the downs and outs. And one day, he was invited along to a gospel preaching, joined over 200 others in the same plight as himself. listen to the gospel preacher. And after that preaching, he found a quiet place in the nearby park and went down on his knees and cried to God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. From that moment, his life was changed. Sometime later, he attended another gospel preaching and heard the preacher say, I would like to shout the word eternity in every street in Sydney. From that moment, Arthur Stace had a new mission. And in the darkness of the morning, about 4 o'clock, he used to get up and commit himself to God in prayer and took a piece of chalk and went out and started writing on the street, eternity. He could hardly spell his own name, but the copper plate writing was a witness to the fact that there was another hand guiding him. Eternity. Eternity. I want you to just focus on that one word, because the kernel of the gospel preaching is to prepare you for eternity. He's long gone. He died in 1967. But in the millennium celebrations in Sydney, after the last firework had been lit and gone out, one word was illuminated over the Sydney Bridge: eternity. If you take nothing else away from this preaching tonight, take that word away and ask yourself, am I really ready for eternity? You know, the Bible tells me about one who inhabits eternity. What can we say about eternity? We can tell you about this period of time in which we are, period of our lives and the history of it. But who can speak about the endless ages of eternity? And yet, there is one in the scriptures of whom it says that he inhabits eternity. Who is he? He's the mighty God. The God who brought this world into being. The God who spake, it was done. Who commanded, and it stood fast. That is the inhabitant of eternity. And the wonder is that that God, in his majesty, in his greatness, came into this world in the person of the Lord Jesus, in order to lay a basis whereby you and I could be sure and certain of where our eternity would be spent. The Lord Jesus tells a story about a rich man and a poor man, and they both die. And one man, the rich man, ends in a place of torment. The poor man is in Abraham's bosom. And between them, there is a great gulf fixed. And the rich man wants appeasement for his situation, but the gulf is fixed. And solemnly, when our lives are over here, our decision as to where we spend eternity is made and can't be altered. But the mighty God that I spoke of came into this world, a world that man's hand had ruined, where sin had cast its long dark shadow and brought sorrow and distance from God. That God came in order to prepare a way, to lay a foundation for a way whereby you and I could be certain that when this life is over, our future was sure and an eternity with the Lord Jesus was assured. How has he done it? The same question lay between man and his God. The same question had to be solved. Man couldn't solve it because man was tainted by sin himself. God sent his own Son into this world in order that he would become an offering for sin. And that perfect one, that man, that one in whom there was no sin, he went here doing good in all quarters, healing the sick, giving the blind sight, touching the leper, causing his leprosy to go. The end of that perfect life, he offered himself in your stead and in mine. He offered himself as an offering for sin. And it was a perfect offering. And on that offering, God, the God who cannot look on sin, the God who hates sin, that God who inhabits eternity, poured out his judgment and wrath on Jesus. Friend, your way to ensure an eternity of blessing is to trust the person who suffered at Calvary's tree, who took the place that I should have filled and bore my sins and his body on the tree. And as you put your trust in him and own what he did, you can say, and he took my place as well. And having taken that place, he finished the work that was given him to do, went into death, and took on the mighty warrior Satan himself, who had the power of death in his hands. And he defeated him, has come out of death triumphant, wresting the power of death, and now power of death and Hades. The key of death and Hades is in the hands of the one whom I know as my Savior. And he wants to become your personal Savior tonight. It's good to come along to the preaching, good to come along to any gospel service, but to get the blessing involves something more. It involves that you must have a personal transaction with the one who took the sin matter up and discharged it to the satisfaction of a holy and righteous God. It means that you must come by faith into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. Of old, you know, the mercy seat was the place where the matter of sin was dealt with, and the blood of the animal was carried in and put on the mercy seat. The Israelite couldn't go in there, but God looked on the blood, and he was favorable towards his people. Tonight, the mercy seat is the person of the Lord Jesus himself, and his blood was shed in order that the sinner might be cleansed. And that blood tonight is available for you. It's available for me. Oh friend, if you've never done it, come into God's presence tonight and plead the blood of Christ, and you'll find a full and free forgiveness is available to you. I've read from this epistle, was written by Paul, once known as Saul of Tarsus, you know. And here, he's, in a sense, telling us what God has done. But at the background of it all, he's telling us of what God did for him. And what does he say he did? He says, it is the God who spoke that out of darkness light should shine. God said in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light. That's what he's referring to. Who has shone in our hearts. The light of the gospel is shining tonight. Can it shine into your heart afresh? Can it touch your heart and bring in the light of heaven, the light of all that Christ has done? And it says it shone in our hearts for the shining forth of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. My Saviour's not now on the cross. He was there. He's not now in the grave. He was there. He broke death's power, risen from the grave, and he's a living, glorious Saviour. And God's glory is shining in his face, and that shining, may it shine in you tonight and light up your heart so that you too come to trust this precious Saviour. Then he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I said at the beginning, what are you going to take with you for eternity? We have many things that we claim to be our possessions here, and none of them will avail anything in eternity. Solemn. Same writer says, you know, when we came into the world, we came in with nothing. And he says, when we leave this world, that's how we'll leave, except the same writer is saying here, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is the treasure? It's the personal knowledge of the man who suffered, who broke death's power and lives in the glory. The personal knowledge of Christ in the heart. What a treasure to have. A treasure that's incorruptible. A treasure that human currency can't put a value on. But it's a treasure that will see you safe and sure into a realm of blessing with Jesus for all eternity. What's the alternative? What's the alternative? You know, my Bible also speaks of the penalty of everlasting destruction if I obey not the glad tidings. The penalty of everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Think of being shut out of his presence and undergoing eternal woe, eternal judgment over against the opportunity that is available to simply reach out and touch the blessings, seize the blessings that are held out in Christ for you. For we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are for a time, but those that are not seen, eternal. Oh, I trust that as we leave this preaching shortly, we'll carry the word eternity with us. And as you lie in your bed tonight, just reflect, am I ready for eternity? Nothing that I can do of myself in the way of works will prepare me for eternity. But the wonder is, the work's been done by another, and all ye need do is put your trust in it and accept the one who's done it. And as believers in the Lord Jesus, let us think about eternity as well. This verse I've read, let us put in the scales our occupation with the things that are seen. We say, he says here, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. Let's put on one side of the scales the things that are seen. And let's put on the other those that are not seen, eternal. And let us challenge ourselves, which weighs out the other. Which is the most prominent in our lives? Things that are seen? What belongs to the material world? Or as we were saying in the earlier meeting, does faith reach out and touch the unseen world where Jesus is, the center of God's world? God brought in this world in which we live, and it was. He looked at it and he said, it's all good. And he put man in that world. What did man do? Man was the avenue, the channel whereby sin came into the world. But God is preparing another world. And the center of that world is Christ, God's Son. That's the world I would like to be in eternally. Your life is heading for eternity. Which eternity? With Christ or without him? You ask, give me a description of this world with Christ. I don't know that I can, but I'll tell you some things that won't be there. There'll be no death there. Why? Because the Lord Jesus, my Savior, has had to do with death and destroyed its power. And it's going to be removed entirely from God's world. Be no sigh there, no cry, no tear. How many tears have you shed? I wonder how many tears have been shed in this world today. Sad world we're in. Tragedies, we speak of natural disasters, recent earthquakes and floods, wars that go on, all a consequence of sin coming into this world. Think of the outlook that the believer in the Lord Jesus has. A world without any of these things, but a world that's pervaded by God's love, and the center of it is Christ himself. May that be the prospect and outlook for every one of us. May God bless the world.
Amen. Amen.